Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, I am joined by the lovely Divya Gugnani. She is the co-founder and CEO of Wander Beauty, a serial entrepreneur and a mom of two. So basically a superwoman. So hi, Divya. Welcome. And how are you?
I'm great. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited to speak with you as well. So I know a little bit about your story, but why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, and just tie in New York because it is called the City Confessions.
Yes, of course. I'll actually just tell you a little bit of a longer version of my story. I was born in Springfield, Illinois. I moved to Long Island when I was 3.5 years old. I grew up there. And lived between Manhattan and Long Island for basically the rest of my life. Went to undergrad at Cornell University, came back to the city, had my first job, worked at Goldman Sachs, slept under my desk, was a broke 21-year-old New Yorker like everyone else, and loved every day of it, and then built my career in finance, first in private equity, investing in late stage businesses, and then venture capital, investing in earlier stage businesses. Went back to get my MBA at Harvard. So it was in Boston for a little bit, but nothing beats New York. So right back to New York after graduation. And then I went back into finance, worked in venture capital, and then took a leap over to becoming an entrepreneur. So I've co-founded 4 companies over the last however many years. I've sold 2 of them. I currently am the CEO and co-founder of Wander Beauty. At Wander Beauty, we create effortless essentials, things you reach for every day, wherever you wander. You know, as a New York City girl, I was doing my skincare routine at the gym in the morning, makeup on the F train subway from the Upper East Side.
That's my train too, by the way. I grew up in the LES, so yes.
Yeah. And then just, you know, sometimes doing my hair at my desk at work if it was a day where I didn't want to look like I had bedhead. So, you know, I really just was like, the New York woman is time starved and on the go. And this brand was really created for her, by her, for her. And it's all clean beauty that you can shop with confidence. And we've kind of built a really strong arsenal of color cosmetics and also skincare. Just recently launched our first SPF, which has been amazing. And that's kind of my journey. I have 2 kids, as you mentioned, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. The 9 is going on 19 and the 7's going on 17. That's my parenting in a nutshell. That's what I'm dealing with. Lots of attitude at home.
Yes. So your story is so interesting and I have so many questions, but I guess the main one that sticks out to me is that transition from finance, super corporate, to beauty. And then, so like, did you always have a love for beauty, or did it really stem from the fact that you needed something to be more, you know, simple, efficient, on the go?
So interesting. So I always loved beauty. So okay. I remember being a little girl and my mom used to go to like dance parties at Studio 54 in Manhattan, which was like the thing, 80s and 90s, I think. And so I always loved watching her do her makeup. And she was just like really about like easy, effortless beauty. I loved skincare and makeup. When I was in college in my sorority, I used to like do facials for people.
That's
and
so
I
cute.
For our sorority formals. And I just like, I had a huge love. And my mom also used to like make everything in the kitchen. So I learned a lot of Ayurveda, and like there was a lot of mixing potions and lotions in the kitchen, anything that came out of the fridge and was fresh. And so I kind of grew up with that. I had a love of beauty instilled in me from the very beginning. But as an entrepreneur, I believe that entrepreneurs see things others don't see. They do things others don't do. And so we see a white space in the market. We see an opportunity and then we act on it. And we kind of put together a team to take that vision and turn it into a reality and create a real business. And so I have started 4 different companies, as I mentioned, in completely different spaces, in the culinary space, in the auto parts space, now in the beauty space. And it's really been through a personal pain point and need. I just knew as a mom of 2 kids, I wanted to look polished and pretty, but I have a minute and a half to do it. And so, you know, and I'm doing it on the move, in the car or on a subway or on a train. And so there was no brand that I could shop with confidence that was clean, that I knew was like working with my skin, not against it. And then also was like, you know, sticks like the On the Glow Blush and Illuminator that you can just use a lip and cheek product on one side, you know, and then use a nude glow illuminator that gives you a little like glow or can be a cream eyeshadow on the other side. And so when you're going through your busy, time-starved, hectic life, you need fewer things that do more. And so I knew that was an opportunity for so many women, not just myself. And so we created a brand really around solving that pain point and those problems.
Right. It makes so much sense. But how does one become a serial entrepreneur? Like, it's already difficult to start one business, let alone start a business and be a mom. So do you think, like, honestly, you were just kind of born to do this? Like, you have that personality and that upbringing?
So fascinating that you say that, because I always call myself an accidental entrepreneur. When I think of an entrepreneur, I think of someone who's like a hustler, someone who's like lemonade stand, like trying to like sell you stuff. Like that's when I growing up, I was like, you know, corporate people have corporate jobs and have stability and have a white picket fence and have 2.2 kids and live in the suburbs. And they're like, and then entrepreneurs are like hustling all the time. And like, they're like, you know, rich and broke, and there's a cycle of ups and downs. And I was like, I don't want to be that. I just want stability and security. And so what's fascinating is that I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. So I literally legitimately never thought that was my path. But over time, as I built skills and got exposed to companies and got my MBA and learned from so many great masters that I worked with in finance, I kind of developed my own leadership style. I developed my own management style. I developed my own like people first empathy for like creating business and also a consumer first approach to creating brands. And so my own experience of going through my own life built, like as I built my skills and became like good at what I did, I then built the confidence. The confidence came later for me. Because people, like a lot of entrepreneurs are super confident and they like figure out everything on the fly. I kind of like built a really strong, robust skill set of things I knew I was good at and I knew how to do. And then my confidence came with that. And then I started taking the risk, which was the third piece. So get good at what you do, have strong skills, then have confidence to execute and, you know, be a visionary and be a leader, and then really go out there and take the risks. And so then I just like took one risk and it paid off, and I built a company and I sold it. Then I did it again. Then I did it again. And so that's really what it has been for me. And it's been such an amazing journey, and I've learned so much along the way, and the industries have been different. But what's the common theme is that as an entrepreneur, you have to be a learn it all, not a know it all. You have to learn everything around you. You're constantly exposed to situations and things you don't know.
Mm-hmm. So when I hear you talk about skills, because as you know, you learn so many throughout your life, even from your finance background to being a mom, what is the number one skill that you think that would really help you throughout the journey? Like, if there's one thing you can just say like, wow, that was, I'm so glad I learned it, I'm so glad it was helpful.
I think it's a trait. I don't think it's actually curiosity. I think the smartest, most accomplished entrepreneurs that I admire are intellectually curious. So when you are curious, you can learn everything and you can find the right people and the right, because you'll never be in a position where you know everything about your job, right? It doesn't matter if you're a corporate job or you're an entrepreneur. Every day, life throws you challenges, situations you've never been in, being out of your comfort zone in the beauty business, like goods getting stuck at the port and freight delays and COVID and, you know, FDA holdups and inspections, and like there's a million regulatory things you have to go through with registering products to be sold in Europe. And like you face new and different challenges every single day. And so I think that people who are intellectually curious learn how to navigate those challenges really well because they have a natural curiosity to learn everything and to surround themselves with people who can help them and help them grow and learn.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is that obviously you have to be a problem solver and not just like freak out, right? No, but let's be real. Like what has been like the biggest challenge? I know you just mentioned so many, what like fright, COVID, any of the business situations, but has there been a challenge where you and even like Lindsay, your co-founder, just like freaked out? And actually it doesn't have to even apply to Wander Beauty. It can be like from your previous companies. But like, what was your like low moment?
It's so interesting. So I've had so many, it's hard to encapsulate them, but I would say that the biggest difficulty and challenge as an entrepreneur is that when you hit gold, like we launched our Baggage Claim Gold Eye Masks, literally, which is gold for us because it's a hero SKU for us. It's coffee for your face. It wakes up your under eyes. It wakes up your face. You look alive. It's brightened, depuffs and hydrates that delicate under eye area. And this gold eye mask, because like was huge for us. It was like so many influencers are using it and celebrities were using it and selling it well at retail. And like, we would just constantly be out of stock. Mm-hmm. Like we would cry over the fact that like we could not keep this in stock. And no matter what we did and how much we ordered and how much we planned, we just couldn't keep it in stock. And that was just excruciating because it was like dying a million deaths over and over by paper cuts because it would just continue to happen. So I think that really taking a look at the process and the planning process and the logistic process and rethinking through the steps of how to create the product, we like looked at it with a fresh set of eyes and redid the process so that we could be in stock more often. But got to rip the Band-Aid off and suffer the pain and then just like figure out a better way to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. And Wander Beauty was founded in 2015, correct?
We launched May 2015. So this is going to be our anniversary.
Wow, that's amazing. So I actually, you know, obviously have tried the products and I'm curious to know, how did you see the success or just the transition or the effect of social media with Wander Beauty? Because I've been in the industry for a while and I do truly believe 2016 to 2017 was kind of the boom of influencer marketing and just like the term influencer was just like birth at that time. So from a company that was also launched at such a great time when social media was becoming a thing, what was that like in the beginning to now? And do you think a lot of your success was due to social media, or I'm just curious to know?
100%. And I think it's in a totally different way than you would expect. Like a lot of brands will tell you that their success with social media was getting influencers to talk about their product and that helped catapult their growth. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely a piece of it, but I think the largest piece was building an organic community of real people who liked the brand. And that informed our product development roadmap and cycle. And having that direct connection with the consumer via social media allowed us to troubleshoot problems, to recognize issues with products immediately, fix them, and like come back with a better solution. It allowed us to understand what our customer wanted to buy from us so that we could actually make it. So my relationship with social media has really been, use this as a huge testing ground to survey the customer. Mm-hmm. And be like, do you like this shade or do you like that shade? Do you like this formula? Do you like that formula? What do you want us to make next?
Right.
What multitaskers are you missing in your routine? Like, so, you know, what's so amazing about that is that Pack Up and Glow, our newly launched SPF, was the number one most searched product on our wanderbeauty.com.
Oh.
And in every poll and survey we did on Instagram and Facebook, everybody kept telling us like, make an SPF, make a tinted moisturizer with make it SPF, make, you know, a foundation with SPF. Like I need SPF in my routine. I know I'm supposed to be wearing it every day to protect me from UVB blue light. And so that informed the life cycle of spending 3 years creating this. Mm-hmm. And what's so amazing is the consumer's been alongside us via social media, the journey. They've watched us iterate and test and try. We've done focus groups and different testing sessions with what we call our Wonder Beauties, like 50 different women in our community tested this formula while we were making it and tried it and gave us feedback about, you know, the mineral sunscreen and it's SPF 40 and it's not greasy and it doesn't leave a white cast. And they were part of that journey alongside us. And that connectivity, social media created the ability for us to talk to directly to our consumer. Yeah. And that is a huge thing that never existed in business before. And we really, really harness the power of that to help catapult the brand.
That is so brilliant too, because you're not looking for like a focus group externally. You're right. Literally diving into your community and your customers already. And like we were saying, creating that journey or showcasing that journey is so beautiful because everybody wants to be a part of something. And just to see the growth, it's like celebrating the end product and all the steps along the way. So I'm curious also, what is your role and what is Lindsay's role? Like, how do you guys, and also how did you guys meet?
We met at a party. Meet everybody. We met, just had a baby. I went out for a glass of champagne because I needed it very badly. We bonded over our love of beauty, our love of travel. We both really had a clean beauty philosophy in 2015 when no one was talking about clean beauty. And we met at my apartment after the party and we just like said, we're going to just do this together. And like, that was really it. And so what's fascinating is that when you're thinking about having a business partner or a co-founder, or even bringing on key people on your team, it's super important to take stock of what your skills are and to be aware about who you are and what you are. And like, I'm really interested in product development and I'm really interested in business operations and, you know, wholesale relationships and finance and operations. And like, that's what like excites me. And like, Lindsay's super creative and she's very visual and she is amazing with photography and videography and like assets and colors and Pantones and packaging. And so you want to bring people onto your business and work with them where they have complementary skill sets, because together you'll make the pie bigger. You'll make the opportunity bigger. You'll make the brand as big as it can be. So, and if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Wow. I love that. Just from hearing you speak, I feel like you're very grounded. And you seem to have such a strong head on your shoulder. Maybe it's because you're a mom as well. I feel like you kind of have to be. But just as a child or like growing up, do you think you've always had a great example of that like go-getter attitude? And I'm curious to know if New York had anything to do with it as well.
New York is all about the hustle. Like, it's so fascinating. You're surrounded by so many talented, brilliant people who come from all over the world to live in that city, who really just like come there to reinvent themselves or to live the American dream in so many ways. And I think I was inspired by all the people I worked with over the years. So I didn't have an example in my family. Like, my mom has never had a job and she's a stay-at-home mom. So that is a full-time job. It's just not a job that you do out in an office. Just to be fair. And my father was an entrepreneur, but he worked really hard and worked very efficiently and then didn't really work much after that. And so I really was inspired truly by the people I worked with, the people I worked with at Goldman Sachs, the people I worked at some of the best firms I worked at. I really took that opportunity to be a sponge and to just absorb and learn everything from everyone around me. And then over the years, I developed my own leadership style, my own management style, my own, you know, presentation style. Everything really just evolved over time by watching and learning from so many people around me.
And then, you know, the quote, it's all about like who you know, not what you know. How do you feel about that? Like, do you really think that's what it is?
I think it's a combination of both. I don't think that who you know is everything, because you have to, what you know is super important. And I always say this, like, people buy a product once for marketing, but they buy it twice for product quality. And so it's like, what you know is the product quality and who you know is the marketing. So that's kind of the analogy I would draw. It helps you get, who you know helps you get a foot in the door, but you can't have any sort of success unless you have the chops and you have the skills and you have the knowledge, so that you got to work on both.
You mentioned success, and that's one of my next questions. I feel like we're on the same wavelength. What was success for you prior, like in 2015, when Wonder Beauty was just an idea? And how has that definition changed throughout the years? And right now, as we are recording, what is success feel like to you? What is it, you know, when you close your eyes, what does that look like to you?
It's so interesting because it has evolved so much. Mm-hmm. When I was starting the brand, success was measured by sales volume. How big are we going to be? How many countries are we going to be in? Are we going to be in Hong Kong, Singapore, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, Europe? Like, we launched so many markets. We were growing. Like, success to me was like dollars and cents and numbers and geographies and how many products are we going to launch and how much sales are we going to have on those? And like, what's the sell through going to be like? And so success was so tangibly financial to me in the early days, because I was trying to like set goals for us as a brand and achieve those goals. And success to me today looks nothing like that. All I think about is happiness and contentment. Mm-hmm. And so my life has changed. COVID really reset my priorities and my goals and who I am as a person. It gave me an opportunity to take a step back and to take stock of my life and where I was spending my time and who I was spending my time with. And I made huge lifestyle changes. Like, I, you know, work more efficiently than I did before. I used to work 7 days a week and so many hours and push myself and grind. And I had very little time out of work other than socializing for work and with friends to do anything for myself. And now, like, I play sports. I play tennis once or twice a week, and I play golf every week, and I, you know, walk every night. And I've changed how I view the importance of taking care of myself. And it took me COVID to go through that. So, you know, they say it's a pandemic, but it was a blessing in disguise for me in many ways.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it really changed my view of success and what success means. Like, success means being content and being happy. Mm-hmm. And that is what it is for me in the moment right now.
Yeah, no, I love hearing that. And like, you're saying that you used to work so much, but we also forget you're a mom, not of one, of two. And like, I honestly can't wrap my head around I'm sure you get this question all the time, right? How do you do it? How do you balance? Does it exist? But like, truly, like, how do you do that? Because I feel like with kids, I don't have kids. I definitely want them in the future, but they're a full-time job. You want to give so much love and attention to them, but at the same time, you're running a business. And then you just mentioned you have to take care of yourself, right? Fill your cup first. So how do you allocate that time, those 24 hours? Like, do you sleep?
I don't sleep a lot, which is not great. I try and sleep as much as possible, but I'm not a great sleeper to begin with, to be quite frank with you. So I feel super strongly that you can have it all. You can't have it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you will time block and realize that there are times where you're going to be an amazing CEO and you're going to kick ass in a meeting. And just to give you an example of my day to day.
Yes.
Kids went to school this morning. I didn't see them before they went to school. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do well on the mom front in the morning for breakfast. I had a board meeting this morning at 9 a.m. and had to prepare for the board meeting. So I, you know, it's Q1 board meeting for Wander Beauty. I wanted to go through the materials. I wanted to make sure that I was like ready to go. I wanted to make sure that I, you know, thought through the discussion topics and was like ready to face the board and, you know, present some of the analysis that I was going to be talking about at the end. And so I block times where I prioritize different things in my life and I do them 100%. I give them my all. I had a board meeting today. I gave it my 100%. The next thing I did right after the board meeting was to have this podcast with you.
Yeah.
And then I have another meeting at noon, and then I'm back to back to back to back. And then at 3 o'clock, my kids, 3:15, they'll come home and I will literally block out an hour of my day where I will not do any meetings and I will spend time with them. And I'll be home present with them. I'll go through their homework. I'll have snack with them. We'll catch up for the day because I didn't get to chat with them in the morning about, you know, what their plans for the day were. And so you just have to find a way to block and tackle where you can be present in your life for the people that love you and need you and care about you, whether it's your team at work or it's your family at home, or it's your family away or it's your friends. And you have to be present in those moments and do the best you can every time and really come at it from that angle. So like for me, I can't be great at everything all the time, but I have times and moments where I'm great at what I do and I really invest in it. And I'm ever present. Like when I'm in a board meeting, I'm not hanging out with my kids or talking to them or trying to multitask. Right. Focused on that. When I'm on the podcast with you, my phone is not in my hands. Mm-hmm. You know, it's charging.
Yeah.
And so it's like, be present in what you're doing and give it your 100%. And then when I get off with you, I'll be, you know, meetings and meetings in the evening, I'll spend 3 hours doing email.
Yeah.
Do each thing and do it well and do it carefully and batch it. And that way you'll feel success in everything you do in those moments.
That's very calming to hear, because I do think sometimes we think we need to be 100% in all aspects of our lives. And I love that you just humanize yourself and all of us and normalize that you can, whatever's currently happening, you give 100%, right? And that clearly means the other buckets of your life are lacking in the sense, but it doesn't mean that you won't attend to them eventually. And then when you're there as well, you're giving it all. So I love hearing that. So as we're wrapping up, my podcast is called The City Confessions. So Divya, I would love to know if you can share a confession with all of us. And this can be anything that you're comfortable with, whether it's motherhood, entrepreneur, just personal life. But what is something that maybe people don't know about you or would be surprised to hear? Or just like a fun fact, like what is your confession?
Oh God, my confession is that I 99% of the time do my makeup on the subway. Like,
you really? Okay.
I don't sit in front of a mirror. I never have time. I carry like three things with me. I have like a concealer, a mascara, and like a lip and cheek product, and like something that can dual pass for my eye. And I always, in a true New York City style, literally get on the subway, use my iPhone as my mirror. And use one hand to do my face wherever I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to dinner and I'm going over a business meeting after work or on my way to work, like that is just who I am and how I do it. And I really hope I get a seat. And that's how I do it. And if I don't get a seat, I do it standing, leaning against the wall.
But you're like living the archetype, I guess, of Wonder Beauty. So it's perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a quick fire round of questions related to New York. You answer it with one sentence or one word, first thing that comes to mind. So what if you could describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Hustle.
What's your favorite thing about New York?
The people.
The least favorite thing?
How dirty it is.
Go-to restaurant or food or spot?
Oh God. For special occasions, Danielle.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
All the friendships that I've made.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I know you're a busy woman, so thank you so much for scheduling your time. Right now is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of Divya's information as well as Wonder Beauty in the description, so be sure to expand on that. But do you guys have any secret news or secret projects you can reveal?
Well, we have new launches coming out this summer, so stay tuned for them. But our newest, most exciting news is Pack Up and Glow.
Yes.
Literally, one in five Americans gets skin cancer by the age 70. And we need to be wearing SPF every single day, whether you're sitting in front of your computer and you're getting blue light exposure, or you're out in the sun with UVA, UVB, or you're getting it through the windows. You need to be wearing it every day. And this is the most phenomenal formula that we worked on that has clinical results. And it literally just gives your face this beautiful glow. You see, it's just like, you can wear it alone. And it gives you this gorgeous glow. It gives you the SPF protection you need to protect your skin, but it also gives you a beautiful glow.
I love that.
Luminosity that we all need.
And I'm not just saying this just to say it, but I honestly have been looking for a new SPF. I have a few trips coming up, so I'm definitely going to check it out. Well, thank you so much, Divya. And everybody who's listening or watching, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode and be sure to stay tuned for next week. All right, bye.